My friends, what's wrong with the world today? I'll tell you what's really wrong. It's because our men, our leaders, our great men, the men at the head of government, the men at the head of great businesses, the men that really run the works, are too limited in their knowledge, in their wisdom, and in their ability. The men of the greatest ability, they're too limited in their knowledge and their education. And I mean the men with the greatest degrees from the highest universities. These men do not know the real purpose of life. These men do not know the way to peace. These men have been desperately trying to bring about some kind of international organization or international cooperation that will bring us world peace. And yet, under their guidance and under their leadership, we have had nothing but war. And under the guidance and the leadership and the rulership of men such as we have, all the way from our cities and our counties and states up to the nation, and in all the nations, we have all kinds of crime, we have all kinds of poverty, we have very distressing conditions, and something is wrong.
Notice verse 3. The captain of 50 and the honorable man, the real leadership is gone in the church of God, for the most part, and in the nations of Israel, in the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. You hear eloquent orators out there and your politicians today. Do we really hear people that move you and stir you and make you want to stand up and do something about what's happening in the land? Where are they? Where are they? I don't see them, or very few of them, and I'm afraid they're disappearing. Where is your Winston Churchill today in Britain? Who is a future Churchill? I don't see him. And there's a reason for that. God says, I'm going to take them away.
That's straight out of Isaiah 3, what my father talked about there in the last bit. Before him, Herbert Armstrong, back in the day, saying, what's wrong with our men? What's wrong with our leading men? What has happened? Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. A little bit later on, I'll get to this New York Post article. What explains the massive male malaise? How do you explain this? Years ago, there was another article that got some traction titled The End of Men. The End? On today's show, we're going to be spotlighting this wonderful book right here, Biblical Manhood. What does the Bible say about manhood? What does the Bible say about male leadership? What does the Bible say about the male malaise? Just to go off of that New York Post piece. We'll get to that in just a second. The subtitle underneath the title of this book, it says, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean in a society of same-sex marriages and transgender bathrooms? The answer to this question has never been more confusing. But why should it be confusing? What is a man? What is his purpose? What is his role? It continues, this generation has challenged, castigated, and changed virtually everything that has defined manhood throughout human history. It says Biblical Manhood, that's the name of this book. It takes us back. It gets back to the basics. Well, where are the basics? How do you get back to the basics? Well, you need to turn to the Holy Bible. That's where God defines the role of a man. That's where God explains what it means to be a man, what it means to be a male leader, what it means to be a husband and a father. Notice Isaiah 3. We'll first look at those prophecies that my father alluded to there in that clip. That was back from the year 2000, quite a few years ago. Mr. Armstrong takes us back even further than that. But here in Isaiah 3, notice this prophecy. It says God will take away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay, the staff, the bread, the water, curses, in other words. And then as part of that, It says in verse 2 that God takes away the mighty man. The mighty man is taken away. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient. It says in verse 3, the captain of 50, the honorable man. God draws attention to men through this passage. It says, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. Like my father said, where are the Churchills today? Today you see more and more childish behavior, and that's brought out in this prophecy too. You see more and more people relying on artificial things, push-button technology, and it's taking away from our ability to think and to reason, and we're not humble enough to turn to the Bible for instruction. That's God's instruction manual. How many people use the Bible for that purpose? To actually read the instructions. Oh, this is how we're supposed to behave. This is what we're meant to be doing. Here's how we should think. Here's what it means to repent, to turn from our wickedness, our wicked ways. Here's what it means to be filled with righteousness. Here are the right priorities. This is what we should be seeking first. God tells us all these things. But just coming back to these curses, discussed in the first three verses of Isaiah 3. Notice again what my father said back in 1999 on the Key of David, clip 4.
God says, I will take away the great leaders because of the people's sins. I will do that. And at the same time, he says, I'm going to take away the food and the water because it's getting very, very bad. You see, if a nation is strong the way it should be, it's going to be producing strong leaders like MacArthur. But where are they today in the Philippines, in the United States and in Britain? You don't find leaders like that in our country today, and yet, again, this is an end-time prophecy.
If a nation is strong, it's going to be producing strong male leadership. Let me just take you to this New York Post article about the massive male malaise. It says, the common narrative about the troubles facing young men goes like this. A growing number are failing in school, not working or studying, not dating or forming families, and not leaving their childhood bedrooms. They are checked out from social life. Their mental health is poor. Their habits are bad. Video games, pornography, gambling, and their views are extremist. What happened to America's men? What happened? How do you explain this? Well, notice verse 4. We're still here in Isaiah 3. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed. The child, it says, shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Disrespect, so pervasive that you see an upside-down society. Does that sound like anything you've noticed of late? Of course, this isn't just talking about literal children, but adults who behave like children, who reason like little toddlers almost. There's plenty of that in this society as well. Notice this article. It says, for only the third time in U.S. history, more women are working than men. Only the third time in history you've got more women in the workforce than men. Is that a good thing? Does that suggest that we're getting healthier and stronger as a society? What happened to our men? Why this massive male malaise? What's the cause? How do you correct it? Well, it's like it says in the subtitle of Biblical Manhood. You've got to get back to the basics. We need to go back to the beginning. This article continues, most young men have worthy goals, including marriage, children, and financial independence. They value belongings, relationships, and respect. In addition, they understand their manly role as requiring responsibility and sacrifices. If they blame anyone for falling short, it's themselves. On the one hand, listen to this, on the one hand, they have a sense for what a full life might look like, complete with a loving and productive family. On the other hand, They are not living that life or even moving toward that goal. And this paralysis is a source of immense distress. They know they should be doing better. They know they should be mentally and spiritually healthier. They know they should be in a good and happy marriage. They know they should have a happy family. But they won't do what it takes to build those things. And you do have to build them. It does take work. It certainly does. Why aren't they willing to put in the effort or to live that way that would produce those results? Well, you can get answers to those questions in other passages of the Bible. Paul, for example, he says in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Selfish, self-centered, vain. It says covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it says down in verse 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We love pleasure. We love pleasure seeking. We seek it more earnestly and more diligently than we seek God. Most young men aren't willing to go through this education, to dig deep into this content, this instruction from God, from the Bible, based on the Bible. Most people are unwilling to open the Bible, to look into the Bible, to submit to the Bible, to submit to the Bible's authority. It's like Paul says in this same passage, that there's a form of godliness or a form of religion, but it lacks the power of God. There's no power in it because, as you just heard in that New York Post article, young men aren't willing to live that life that would produce those desired results. It takes work. You've got to navigate your way through some obstacles, some trials and tests. You've got to push yourself. You've got to drive yourself. You've got to be resourceful. You've got to persevere. You've got to stay the course. You've got to get education. You've got to switch off the AI and dig into the Word of God and let God's Word get through to you. This New York Post article, 43% of young men agreed with the appraisal, "I am inclined to think I'm a failure. I've failed." 43%. What has happened to our men? As I say, all of this latest article, it makes me think of one, I think it was back in 2010, titled "The End of Men and the Beginning of What?" That was at the American Spectator. What does it mean when you lose righteous leadership? When you lose quality male leadership? That can't be healthy. Is that healthy for a family? Is it healthy for a marriage? Is it healthy for a community? Is it healthy for a church congregation? We need this instruction. And you're probably thinking of four or five young men that you know that could also benefit from this instruction. Getting back to the basics, let's come back to God's instruction. It's not outdated. It's not something that, well, it's not applicable today. It was recorded 2,000 years ago. As I say in that subtitle, biblical manhood gets back to the basics. How much do we need the basics? We need it now more than ever. Because look at where we are. Look at what's happening to our society. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about the total breakdown of the family, the traditional family, as being a greater threat to our society than a hydrogen bomb. He was right. The destruction maybe is slower going and you don't see it as graphically all at once like you do if a bomb explodes. But over the past few generations, be assured, a bomb has been exploding spiritually. And you can see it, you can see the fruits of it. And just looking at how twisted and distorted our thinking has become and how upside down the institutions of family and marriage are. And we'll get to more of that after the break. And also, Look into a few examples in the Bible of real men, wonderful examples that all of our men, our young men in particular, should be looking to. For now, I'll just refer you again to Biblical Manhood. Make sure that you request your free copy today. It's 250 pages, and there's no cost or obligation. And while you're at it, make sure that you subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine on my program, my daily program, the Trumpet Daily. We've been talking a fair bit about artificial intelligence in recent programs. You can get to that by going to trumpetdaily.com, or you can order the book and a free subscription to the magazine by going to keyofdavid.com as well. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at trumpetdaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O, my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. And then if you look at the preceding verses, you'll see where God says the leaders are being taken away. They're being taken away because they don't have that strong, traditional family to teach them to be leaders. People don't just accidentally become leaders. They need to be taught. And there's no greater teacher of leadership in this world than the family, the strong, traditional family, not an upside-down family, which is what Isaiah prophesied would be here in this end time.
Well, that takes us back to 2004. You can see the studios have changed a bit over the years, but that's the Key of David from over 20 years ago. My father, again, going through Isaiah chapter 3, and you look at verse 12, it says, as for my people, he read this, but we'll read it again, children are their oppressors. Children are oppressing. They're a burden to society. It says, and women rule over them. And God talks about how this is a curse. The men aren't even mentioned. They've been taken away, as the first few verses of the chapter bring out. They're gone. They're absent. Fatherlessness. It's a curse. Only about 60% of our respondents report a consistently present father. That's about the closest that New York Post article gets to the solution. It's the family breakdown that's producing this massive male malaise. Listen again to my father. This is from 2007, clip 5.
The greatest single blessing in life comes from a strong family unit. And also, conversely, you could say the greatest curse in life comes from a weak family unit. And so the greatest blessing and the greatest curse that we face really all revolves around the family. Now, this is what Malachi 4 and verse 6 teaches, and it truly is one of the most profound verses in all of the Bible. And he, a man, shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, a curse could read the curse, but at any rate, it means utter destruction. Wrong family leads to utter destruction. Do we realize how serious this is?
And the word earth there really means inhabitants of a region. So it's talking about the inhabitants of the earth. And unless we structure the family right, the family is going to disintegrate and end up causing man himself not to survive.
That's how serious it is. The subject of that show, by the way, fatherhood. How important. If God created it, God made man and woman from the very beginning. God created the roles in the family. They're laid out specifically in Ephesians 5 and other such passages. God gets into a lot of detail, but we've rejected that instruction. We've rejected those teachings. The scriptures say that God gave us this instruction, the scriptures, they're by inspiration from God. They were given to mankind by God's inspiration from God himself. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 4, it talks about, well, first, my father referred to that prophecy in Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6, where it talks about an end time Elijah. He's to come on the scene in the last days, and he's to turn the hearts of children to their fathers, and then the fathers, their hearts to their children. A family man, a family builder, a real man, a strong man, a mighty man, an authoritative man, a teacher, a skilled, someone who's skilled in the law of God. That was Herbert W. Armstrong. He died in 1986. But look at the message he took right around the world, and look at the millions of people he reached. Look at all of the people that watched his programs and followed his work. God was working through that man. It says in 1 Timothy 3, 4, it's talking here about leaders, church leaders, that God raises up. And it says about church leaders, it needs to be one that rules well his own house or his family, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So there's discipline there. There's instruction there. There's leadership. There's guidance. There's love. There's all those things. How important is the father's role? Just going back to my father's subject there in that 2007 program. Notice what he said in the next clip, clip 6.
Our fathers, as we've known and loved them, obsolete? Why would these people make such a statement? Are fathers not any longer essential for the well-being of the children? And I tell you, that is totally opposite of what God teaches you in the Bible. And it makes that statement one that is the most damaging to the well-being of any family or nation. And I would go so far as to say that that statement and that teaching is a greater threat to humanity than the nuclear bomb or weapons of mass destruction. What is so wrong with that statement? That fathers are no longer essential for the well-being of children. Now, if you want to look at our society today, you'd have to say it's rather wretched in many ways when you look at the family.
He was talking there about an article that came out at that time around 2007 when he gave that program that concluded that, well, we've done our research and fathers aren't really essential. They're not needed for the growth and the development of children. That is insanity. Pure and simple. It's certainly unbiblical. That's not getting back to the basics. Certainly not. Notice Acts 11. We went through this example recently in one of my classes here at Armstrong College. It's just a passing reference how God describes this man called Barnabas, who was so instrumental in bringing along the Apostle Paul and bringing encouragement to the early New Testament church that didn't want to trust Paul because of his wretched past. He was a murderer. He was persecuting Christians. And Barnabas, whose name means encouragement, the son of encouragement, you can see that in Acts 4, It says in verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, and with good purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. It says, for he, speaking of Barnabas, verse 24, was a good man. He was a good man. He was a masculine man. He was a leading man. And so was Paul, and so was Peter, and so was Jesus Christ. And yet look at how this world portrays those individuals, especially Christ, in all the famous paintings and all the statues of him, making him out to look like this womanish figure. That is not the Jesus Christ of the Gospels. You get into those works, you read the history in Acts, you look at the background of Paul and his travels, and Barnabas and all the assistants he worked with, all of these strong male individuals. There was no malaise in God's church as far as church leadership was concerned. In the first century, the Psalms say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You've got to order your steps according to what God commands in the Holy Bible. This book will really be an exciting start to your study. I looked at it during one of the clips. It's actually 338 pages, and we offer it for free. No cost, no obligation. Just contact us today and we'll send you a free copy. You can get to the online version of this at our website, thetrumpet.com, but you can order your own hard copy at keyofdavid.com. Don't forget to subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine as well. That's all we have time for on today's show. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All of our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.